some scripture, and we'll get into the... I'd like you to go to Acts chapter 27, and then we're going to read verse 10. I'm reading the New Living Translation. I want to welcome all my family members and brothers and sisters from our First Nation community at Long Lac 58. And I don't know why a lot of our members stayed away tonight. We should have filled this place up. So maybe next time I'll sneak up on them. I don't know. Okay, let's go. And I want to talk to you. I was inspired, you know, by Brother Bruce's story about how God really touched his life and changed him, and physically his body. I can't think of different people who've had God move upon their lives and heal them. And I just think about Kelly. Kelly was, you looked like the face of death when we went to the hospital, skinny and wasting away, and with lupus, I guess it was, lupus, and other things that was going on in your body. Your body was actually fighting itself. And tremendous testimony about what God did for you and the road of recovery. And, you know, she had this horrible disease, and God completely healed her. Amen? It was wonderful. And she got it not because somebody actually prayed for her. Because she learned the laws of faith. And she learned the laws of prayer and begin to implement that. And if you could tap into the laws of prayer, the laws of faith, you can make anything happen in your own life. And we need to be taught that, you know, like there's laws of physics, there's spiritual laws that can really, really make an impact on your personal life and those you love. Testimonies that I heard that really changed people. And I think about, you know, Kathy here. Kathy one night went to bed, got up. I think you went to have some drink at night, and just like Bruce fell over and had a stroke and went out and went to the hospital. And, you know, when you have a stroke, it's not very likely that you can survive. And so she remembered God's word, and she heard that word was planted in her heart. And she thought, you know, I'm going to just use what I learned and in the hospital and begin to believe God for her healing as well. And you know, we need to be encouraged and hear stories like that people do recover from horrible situations, physical problems, like debilitating, like stroke, cancer, like yourself, diabetes. And the recovery is slow. And you know what? Hey, I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes people get healed immediately because for whatever reason, their faith, or even if God does something, just to, you know, whatever God does in their life. But we know that laws work. The Bible says they shall lay hands on the recover and they'll recover, right? It takes a process, a time for sometimes things to happen. So we're grateful no matter how we get healed, how quick we get healed. Sometimes I can lay hands on somebody here and they'll just go out just as looking as sick as ever. But in a few months or a few hours or a few weeks, they're all well again. And the doctor says you can't be healed, but then again, you get healed. So we thank God for that. And you know, we're praying for people and we're trusting God to touch them. And we are getting results as people hearing the word of God. God's word is true and real. And let's go ahead and pray. Father, we want to thank you for your word this evening. We want to pray a special prayer for our brothers and sisters here that have been here. So we thank you for their not only their rest of the time that they're here, learning together and developing, growing, but we also pray that the power of God, the Spirit of God, will touch them, and that if anyone's sick here, that everyone shall be healed. We demand that by the power of God, and we pray and proclaim that because your loving kindness and tender mercies are ours every day. And so we thank you that stretch forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done In Jesus' name, amen. Turn over your Bibles here for a second. I'm going to preach a few moments, Acts chapter 27, verse 20. I want to talk to you overcoming the storms of life. Overcoming the storms of life. If you're taking some notes, take a lot of notes. Or also you can fix it. You can find this in the... We do have articles on that, Miss Nita. We do have articles about the storms. We still have that. If we do, well, this past was out later on, if people don't get it. The storms of life, topic, overcoming the storms of life. Text chapter 27, chapter 27, verse 20, New Living Translation. The terrible storm rained for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars, until at last all hope was gone. And here we find the Apostle Paul on sailing at sea. The scripture says, for many, many days, a terrible storm, not just a regular storm, but a terrible storm. When things happen, you know, when people have a long challenge, you know, you start to feel weaker, naturally speaking. You know, we're all tired of COVID, tired of winter. How many of you want more winter? You want some snow and spring? You know, we should be having more sun. And so it says here in the scripture, though, it says that the sun was not shining. And when the sun is not shining, I heard statistically that many people start to get depressed because they're not getting the kind of vitamin they need in their bodies. How many people you feel a little bit more down when you don't have the sun out? It's better when the sun is out. So it says, so there was a terrible storm. It lasted many days. Everybody say, a terrible storm. Terrible. Say, many days. And so it says, blotting out the sun. Say, blotting out the sun. And that's horrible. Until all hope was gone, you know. You want some hope. You know, hope, this kind of hope we have, you know, the Bible hope and just natural hope are two different things. Just human hope is like, you know, it might happen. Maybe there's a percentage that something's going to happen. But when you get Bible hope says, it's going to happen. Anytime now, I'm expecting it to happen. So the Bible talks about, the scripture talks about hope as the actual regular word in the original language says, confident expectation. That's Bible hope, that it's not happening now, but anytime it's going to change. Everybody said, anytime. It's going to change. So something is going to happen. So you're just excited that something's going to happen. And so, you know, if the storm's going on, and the Bible said, but because of all that, humanly speaking, they were feeling depressed, feeling, you know, just agitated that there's no sun, the storm is raging. And Pastor Steve here, you know, he was, and his dad worked in the seas. They're like seamen and work on ships and stuff. And he told me about the times they've been at sea, and you're just getting sick, and the storm is raging. You know, you don't want to be sick at sea. And so you can imagine these guys were sick, and they were like floating around and being tossed around for many, many days. You know, when Brother Bruce was singing that song, I thought about, the Edmund Fitzgerald. I was going to ask him, if you could play Edmund Fitzgerald. What is that song called? Edmund Fitzgerald. Okay. I thought it was the name of the singer. Actually, we went to see that fella, Gordon Lightfoot. Okay, we went to see him actually two times. The first time I saw him, I thought, this cannot be Gordon Lightfoot. This has got to be an imposter. Because I remember Gordon Lightfoot, he was like full of life, and he was like really skinny, and he got on the stage and he was singing. Like I guess he was very, very sick, right? But anyway, I'd go back to see him again. Praise God. He's very, very good. What a Canadian talent. So I want to ask you, I want to tell you something, that you can overcome every storm of life. I mean, I don't know what you're going through right now, personally speaking, but the nation and the world is going through turbulent times. Turn on your television set and go to your whatever social media you have or whatever, you're gonna find nothing but trouble, lots of storms. And so our nation and the world and the church is going through storms, just like the Bible predicted. Many, many, many are getting overwhelmed because they haven't paid attention, maybe perhaps, to maybe forecast of what's going to happen. Many of us, on a personal level, will go through storms in life. Storms will make you feel helpless, just like these people up here, and hopeless, and devastated. I know, Brother Bruce, and I can appreciate what you're saying about being sick. You know, when I started the ministry, I just finished my program there at University of Manitoba, and I came to work in the ministry, and I was just overwhelmed with a lot of stress, and all kinds of stuff happened to me, and I got very, very sick, and the doctor said I had a stroke, and you know, I can feel, I know what you're talking about, because all of a sudden, the enemy would say, you're going to die any moment, because the doctor said, you could die any moment. That's not a very good thing to tell a 30-something old man. And you're going to die in a moment. And your kids are going to have, a home without a dad. And your wife is going to be a widow. And you're going to be a cripple. And so on and so on. And I was sick for 5 years. I was very, very just no energy. And one side of my body was just weak. And I'd have the conversations and did my work. And I would just maybe have one meeting with somebody and just have to go to bed. And was very, very sick. And I know that you can be depressed. And the Bible says in Acts 10:38 that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. When someone is sick, they get depressed. And so it's a normal reaction. You get sick. You get depressed, you're stuck at home, you can't do the things that you used to do. I was telling my wife today, I went home and I did, some clearing of snow. And, you know, you're not 30 anymore. You're not 40 anymore. You're not even 50 anymore. Getting up there. So I said, well, how old are you? I said, well, it's none of your business. you do kind of run out of energy. Here's Joe coming in. Joe is my old pal. He used to beat me up all the time. I'm just kidding. Joe and I had a great time. He grew up. He's one of the guys that parted up with lots of times. And but those are old. We won't talk about the good old days, Joe, because no. So yeah. I hope you don't have a hangover now. So. But anyways, we're going to edit that part too. So anyway, the storms of life go through everybody. Everybody's going to get some kind of storm in their lives at some point, and you're going to have to know how to navigate through those times. What are you going to do? And I know sometimes when a storm hits you, you say, where is God during this time? Why isn't he here? Why isn't he helping me? If I need God now, I need him right now. And but we all, no matter who we are, we're going to experience turbulent times. We're going to experience hard times in life. And so we're going to have to know what to do when that happens and not be so frightened, overwhelmed, and also understand that, you know, there's something you can do. And Jesus said, in this world, in John chapter 16 and verse 33, he says, in this world you'll have trouble, tribulations, tests, and trials. But he said, be of good cheer. How many of you are a Maple Leaf fan here? I want just for curiosity, how many of you are Maple Leaf? There's a couple of you. So when your team wins, What do you do when they score? When Matthew scores, how does it look like? Yeah? How does it sound like? It must be wrong. But yeah, you know, if you're happy, right? You start to get excited, right? But we need to understand something here. That there are some Maple Leaf fans. Last night we had a reason to shout about it. I'm not teasing Pastor Steve, but you know, I know I'm going to get it. Next time they lose, I'm going to get it. But I keep my praises to myself. But you know, so some of us, we're going to experience these things, and God tells us that storms are going to come. Jesus said, "In this world you have tribulations, tests, and trials, but be of good cheer." And I said, "Be of good cheer. How does good cheer look?" Well, you know, you smile, and you're happy. And when you're happy, there's a certain amount of your personality, your body speaks and tells the language. If you're sad, your body tells something. Your expression looks like, you know, there's something wrong with you. You say, "Oh, no, there's nothing wrong with me. I know there's something wrong with you." And then you get mad. But, you can tell when somebody is depressed or there's something wrong. So Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." And a lot of us don't believe that. And when you don't believe it, it's not going to happen. Things are going to, you know, go bad. And he says, Jesus said, everybody is going to go through hard times and storms, and the storms of life are going to hit you. But you're going to have to be prepared so that when it comes, you know exactly what to do. And it should not take you by surprise that, you know, what's happening. Sometimes, hey, listen, sometimes the devil himself, he'll create a storm in your life. And listen to this. And the Bible teaches us that at this moment, God is actually not in control of everything. And the Bible says that the devil is the god of this world. Jesus called the devil the prince of this world. And that the word prince in the language, the Greek language, which was originally written, it says the devil is the ruler of this world. Over in John. He's the ruler of this world. And Paul the Apostle called him, he's the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4. So a lot of people are blaming the storms of life, that God is causing that storm to come to them, when actually the devil's caused that storm. The devil's only lord and control over people who give their lives to him. And who will practice the laws of what God has said in his word. And so sometimes we create our own storms. You know, I mean, if the doctor told you, a medical science tells you, listen, you better start eating right. Stop eating all those chips at night. That gallon of ice cream has to go. And then you say, well, my sugar levels are getting really high. And pray for me, Pastor, the devil's after me. No, hey, listen, you're the devil. That's attacking yourself. And so we blame people, everybody. Well, that, you know, my wife, you know, she cooks. Well, you don't have to eat her food. Well, somebody said, well, I don't eat her food. I go next door. Anyway, but sometimes we blame people for different things. And really, sometimes there's a lot of people that blame the devil for what they're doing. I always tell a story about a man one time. He says to me, I want you to pray for me because the devil is attacking my finances. I said, okay, let's come to my office. We'll figure this out. I said, let me look at your, some of your statements, and let's write a budget down. And so we wrote a little things and wrote down some stuff, and we found out who the devil was. He's blaming somebody for what he's doing. It's easy to blame the devil, right? You remember in the 1970s, some of you might not remember this, but there's a black man, a comedian on television, he used to say, the devil made me do it. Remember Flip Wilson? How many of you remember that? You know, just type in Flip Wilson on your phone. Geraldine Jones. Anyway. But anyway, you know, he blamed the devil for everything. And the Bible says that, you know, Adam and Eve, when the story in the Genesis, the Bible says, when Adam and Eve, they disobeyed God and they partook of the forbidden fruit. And God comes along, talks to Adam, and he's supposed to be, you know, be responsible. So God tells Adam, come here, I'm going to talk to you. What about? Well, we've got some things to talk to you about. That's how God talks to me. He doesn't say, I am God. It's like, you know, I always imagine myself, if God's going to talk to me, he's going to sound like, you know, like that, I am God. That's how Moses heard God, right? And you saw that show? What is it called, that show? Moses? What is it called? Huh? Commanda. Oh, Ten Commandments. And so I always liked that dramatic situation. You know, I would wait for that for many, many years. It's 6 hours long, but I would watch it and complain that it's too long. And so God comes and talks to him. He's in the burning bush, you know, and so on. And then he makes, you know, the Ten Commandments and all. It was very dramatic, you know. I mean, God's always dramatic. He's never normal. So I grew up thinking that, God, that's how God sounds. And sometimes we don't know that God, when he talks to you, he talks to you in your spirit. You know, your conscience is the voice of your spirit. And God talks to you through your spirit, your conscience. Well, that's a little extra information. I'm not preaching on that, but God does talk to you. And your voice, your body has a voice too, and your mind. And sometimes your mind tells you all kinds of stuff, you know, like they're talking about you. No one's not talking about you. You wish. It's like, oh, she loves me. He wants me. It's all in your head. And so you're disappointed, right? Anyway, go back to that show. So God talks to Moses and so on. Why am I talking about this anyway? Eh? Oh, Adam and Eve, that's right too. You're right. See, that's why you have to have your wife in the service. Get you back on track. So God comes up and talks to Adam, and he tells Adam, Adam, come here, I want to talk to you. What's up, God? I'm not sure if he said that or not, but it seemed like, in my mind, I think kind of funny about things, you know. I don't always think Jesus was like walking around like this, you know. Sometimes he's like, hey, guys, what's up, guys? Hey, yo. Peter, because I think he was comical. God, I mean, I believe that Jesus, you know, I mean, he's like normal. You know, because we all imagine God in a certain bracket because we're taught certain things. And so here's God talking to Adam. Now, he's created his own storm because he disobeyed God. He said, Adam, what did you do? Did you partake of that fruit? And all of a sudden, it's an apple. I don't know if it's an apple or not, but did you eat that apple? No, it wasn't an apple, Lord. No. He said, did you eat that apple? He says, yeah, but the woman gave it to me. Tonight, you're going to say, so anyway, yeah, that woman. And so a lot of times, you know, we blame other things for something we're creating in our own lives. Right? So the Lord talks to the woman. Eve, come here. And she was hiding. And remember that after that, when God looked for them, they had leaves on. You know, covering everything. Before that, they were like stark. Never thought anything of it. But God talked to Eve and said, Eve, listen. I heard you disobeyed me and you gave this apple to Adam. He said, yeah, but the devil did. He made me do it. So a lot of times when we're creating, we create storm for our lives, we blame somebody else. Like spending money. You blame the economy, but you've been spending too much money. And so we blame different things happening in our lives, but we need to take responsibility for our own storms. But Jesus said, if we take precaution, if we understand some things and learn to walk by his laws that he's put out for us, we're going to avoid storms, and if a storm does happen, we're going to be prepared. And he talked about in the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew about the storms of life that come. He said, you know, there's two people. You could have two people sitting there, and they're listening in a service or something. One guy hears a message. They hear the same message. One guy hears the message and puts into action what principles was laid out for him, and the other guy just didn't even care. And so when hard times come, Jesus said the guy who didn't put into practice the principles that he learned, spiritual laws that he learned, he's going to go down. Amen? So we need to take care and watch our own lives and take care of ourselves in that storm. So the storms will hit everybody. The Bible shows us many have gone through storms and lived to tell about it, and they gave glory to God. Noah went through a storm. It lasted 40 days and 40 nights, the Bible says. And it even wasn't his fault. The guy is living right. He's doing everything God's told him to do. So the Bible talks about that the people around him caused him some trouble. We see other aspects of that in the scriptures where because you're with people, the storms of life affected you. Or certain people around you or where you live can affect you emotionally, financially. So other people's disobedience to God can directly affect you on an emotional level or a physical level or whatever level that you want to think about. So, you know, we need to be prepared for different things. Prepare ourselves. I want to be prepared to shut down pretty soon. We got another song coming. So we're going to live in a world, we're living in a world where hard times are going to come. Here's what Psalm 23 says, verse 4, the Good News translation says this. And Psalm 23 is about us today. Psalm 23 is a prophetic word given way back then about Jesus, the Good Shepherd, and us. So Psalm 23 is really about us when he says, even though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil. In other words, it's up to you whether or not you're going to fear. You know, I suffered from anxiety for a number of years. I've talked about that many times. I've suffered with anxiety. I had just really bad depression, and I was able to overcome depression. I know what it's like to be depressed for days and weeks at a time. And hiding it. And when God took the depression away, all of a sudden, I could hear the birds singing. I could see the little doggies and the nice green grass. And leaves were singing. And everything felt a whole lot better. But depression left. And the only way I got out of depression is got into the Word of God. And I was able to overcome anxiety issues and anxiety attacks because God's Word came into me. You know, that's why Jesus said, the Word of God is faith food. It's good for your spirit. I want to end with the scripture. Psalm 23, verse 4. You know, I'm probably not making that much sense to anybody because I don't know what I'm doing up here. It's good, you know. You don't have to always try to make, you know, you think, he knows what he's doing. I remember many times when we were doing ministry and healing people and everything else, and things were happening, people getting healed left and right and stuff. And so I've had incidents where I totally didn't understand what's going on. When I traveled the road and I was doing meetings, Bruce, and things happened, like demonic people showed up, mess up my meeting. I was always telling the story, and a lot of people heard of it. One night I was an usher. And so they called, you know, there was a phone in this little church we were at, and my pastor was preaching, and I was one of the head ushers that day. And so I went to answer the phone. I shouldn't have answered the phone. And they said to me, "Hi, is this such and such church?" I said, "Yeah, we're having a service tonight. It's a Sunday night service." "Yeah?" He said, "You guys over there pray for people that have demons?" I said, "Yeah, bring them over." He says, we got a few people here. We just brought them out from the psychiatric hospital, and they have demonic problems. So I said, "Yeah, bring them over." Well, I've never prayed for anybody who had demons. Have you? I'm not expecting any demons at church. So anyway, meeting was going on, and I'm at the door, and then, you know, doing different things in my job as an usher, you know. I'm together. But I'm not expecting demons tonight to show up. And so these people come in, and I said, "Yeah, here's a chair. Sit over here," and so on, you know. And so the music was on after they were singing a song. And the pastor said, "Oh, we're going to pray for people." And I went over to help the people that came in. I said, "Do you want to?" They were crying. People were crying and everything like that. And so I said to the people, "Oh, don't be afraid and stuff." So as I was talking to that one person, it started manifesting. A spirit started manifesting, started talking to me through this person. His face started changing, and another voice came out of that person. And going, "What's that? I've never seen that before." It scared me, like, you know. I've heard other people had the same experiences, but it scared me. It was like when you just get so surprised of this situation. And so, I was so afraid. My reaction was like, I'm talking to this person. And next thing, another voice comes out and started acting different. I'm going, "Okay." I did say, "Devil, you got to come out." I was going, "Hey, listen, everything's going to be okay." I went like this, eh? I said, "In the name of Jesus." Scared me. The reaction. I was away up north once and I was speaking. And the Lord talked to me. I'm preaching. I heard the Lord speak to me. He said, "There's a lady back there. I want to pray for her. You should pray for her right now." I kept on. I heard the voice of the Lord said to me again, there's a lady back there. I want to pray. I want you to pray for this person." I disregarded that because I thought, this is just me. I'm thinking this. But no, God was talking to me. So I said, "Hey, listen," the third time, and it was very strong. I said, "Listen, we're going to stop here and we're going to pray for this lady right over here. I mean, she looks good." So we had an usher come up here and help me out. "And can you just help this lady come up here? We're going to pray." So as we came up there and, went and got this person and started manifesting right away. The eyes flipped back, the tongue sticking out, the eyes and then voices coming out. It's like a movie. You ever see a movie like that? Well, this is no movie. This is a service up north into some kind of church. And you know what? I acted like it. I always did this. And everybody's upset. The pastor's upset. They're crying. The elders are crying. Everybody's crying. Kids screaming. Everybody. And I said, okay, let's bring that person up here. I said, in the name of Jesus, you got to come out. And that thing came out. But this, the end story, the good story about it, she contacted me later. She said, you know, Pastor Roman, I want to tell you something. I was bound by a spirit of suicide. They would find me hanging with a rope in my room. I tried several times to kill myself, and this thing kept telling me, I hate you, you got to die, I'm going to kill you, and so on and so forth, and kept telling me this. And she said, when you cast the devil out of me, it left me and never came back. And the doctor said, I would not ever have babies, and now I have a little baby. God not only delivered her from the spirit of suicide, but also helped her have children, opened up her womb. Well, God can do that. And God can do that for you right now in this place. How many of you want a baby? Joe wants a baby. He's got too many babies. I remember, just a quick story before we end, we're going to end here. With Sunday morning, we used to have services over sometimes at the Prince Arthur Hotel. We had a special meeting. And one morning, you know, the power of God was so evident, so real. And you can actually cut it with a knife. So they just touched the power of God, so real. So I went up there to the podium and I'm prophesying. I said, there's somebody here. God wants to open your womb and you're going to have a baby. With silence. And everybody's looking around. And an 80-year-old woman gets up and comes down the aisle. And she wants to have a baby. This has got to be miraculous. I mean, you know? And you should have seen my elder in the front row. He's going, what's he going to do next? I was, you know, I mean, I'm so hyped up at the power of God and everything else. And my mind's going, how is this going to happen? What's going to happen here? But, of course, she misunderstood. So I prayed for her healing in her ears. Praise God. We're going to end the service. I'm going to pray for everyone, one by one. It's going to take about till midnight. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to end. I'm a pastor. I don't have to pray for every single person. I do one fits all. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.